Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone's had a blessed week and an amazing Easter. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But last week, we finished up our 16-week series called Walking with Jesus. And through this series, we got to see the life of Jesus. We saw where he walked. We saw where he hung out, who he hung out with, where he did ministry and changed lives. And then we focused on the end of his life for the last couple weeks. Jesus was betrayed. He was hated. He was beaten. And ultimately, he was killed on a cross. But that was not the end. 3 days later, Jesus rises from the grave. He comes back from the dead, solidifying that Jesus died for our sins and that he is God and he has power over everything. I'm going to tell you, it is an awesome and exciting thing. If you don't understand what this means, please talk to somebody. If you're going, I don't understand why Jesus' death helps me, I will talk to you about it afterwards. Please see somebody in leadership. It is the best thing that could ever happen to this world and for you personally. And so I can't even imagine what it would have felt like to be one of the disciples and followers of Jesus, because you saw him die, they buried his body. They're hiding and they're scared because they thought this happened to Jesus. Who's the Messiah? Who is God? What are they going to do to us? And then all of a sudden, Jesus is back. The adrenaline had to be pumping. Your faith in God has just been completely solidified. There is no denying that God is real and that Jesus is his son. And you have to understand, for you personally, this means something amazing. You're part of this family, the family of God. He loves you personally. He wants you personally. This is something you should be like, woo! This is exciting. This is awesome. This is amazing. I can't believe it's happening. And if you don't have that excitement, that means maybe you don't understand how awesome it truly is. And as we read these verses from last week, Jesus is there with his disciples, and the big questions start to happen, because all has been fulfilled in the Word of God. All those prophecies that foretold what was going to happen. All those things where God says, I have promises, there's going to be a Savior, it's going to be amazing and wonderful. It has happened. But now that the world has changed, and the disciples, they look to Jesus, they have one giant question, and that is, now what? What do we do now? Because all of this has been leading up to his son coming here to save us. So what do we do? So they're standing there waiting for Jesus to respond. And that's what this new sermon series is all about. Because Jesus fulfilled it all, so now what? And we know when we go through this next series here that Jesus, he leaves again. And they're standing there going, now what? What does this look like? We're used to Jesus being here and leading us and pushing us and telling us and showing us what to do. So now what? They're left like us, where we're going, okay, Jesus died. Now what? How do we do this? How do we live this life? What does it look like to live for God and live in this world? And when you know the truth, you have that question. What's the next step? And so Jesus tells them, and that's what we're going to start off with in this week. It's going to be Matthew 28, 16 through 20. We're going to be reading Matthew 28, 16 through 20 from the front. I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I'm using, we have some in the rows and there's a stack in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. Now, I know some people are saying Matthew 28, 16 through 20. I've already heard this. I understand. This is something that many have probably already heard. And if you haven't heard, it's going to blow your mind, which is awesome. But we're going to read Matthew 28, 16 through 20. And then we're going to talk about in great detail what this means for you today. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Now these verses, they're known as the Great Commission. So if you've heard somebody say, oh, it's the Great Commission, that's what this is. That's what these verses are. These are instructions from Jesus himself. This is our command. This is our job. This is our mission. If you are a person who claims to be a follower of Christ, I want you to understand this is for you. Okay, this wasn't written for Pastor John, all right? This was written for every follower of Christ. I don't care if you have been a follower of Christ for 1 week or if you have been following him for the last 100 years of your life. This is talking to you. But we have to break down exactly what Jesus is saying here. And we start off with the who and the where. So Jesus has his followers go to Galilee. If you've been following the last 16 weeks of sermons, I have mentioned Galilee over and over again, and that's because a lot of ministry happened there. But they go to the mountain that Jesus told them to go to, and Jesus shows up there, and they could see him right there in front of their eyes. And it says that they worshiped him. Again, it's a miracle. It's amazing. It's almost unbelievable. And so those who were in awe, they were worshiping how amazing God is. God has fulfilled what he said would happen. The promises are here. We saw him die, and here he is right here in front of us. But it also says some doubted. Some are still doubting. And it's because they're saying, I still am having trouble because this is impossible. When you die, it's over. And so they start coming up with reasons of why this happened. Well, is this really happening? Is this just by chance? Is this an accident? Is it coincidence? And we start to doubt and we start saying, well, there's no way it actually happened this way. There's no way that the impossible here is happening. And it's okay because these doubts, they're human. This is us. We look at them and we go, ugh, how can you doubt? We would doubt as well. Maybe it's mass hysteria. Did someone slip something in my drink? I can't believe what's happening. And when we see God work, when we see God do things that are impossible, we start to go, I don't know if I can believe this. Was that really God? Did that actually happen? Or am I making this up because this is what I wanted to happen? And so what we do is we just kind of move on and we brush it all off. Well, the disciples, they see Jesus, but it still seems impossible to some of them. But then Jesus speaks, and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And this is Jesus solidifying why we need to listen. This line is just as important as the rest. Sometimes we read that beginning part, all authority has been given to me. And you're like, okay, whatever. And you go to the next part here. But we have to understand, with him saying this, this adds weight to the words that are to come. So if your spouse tells you to do something, we're going to get real honest here. We may listen. We may do what they say. But come on, you know, we don't always listen. And there's a reason my honey-do list is this long. Because I'm like, okay. And then I walk away. It happens. We have things that we brush off and we forget or we ignore it completely, if depending on how hungry or angry you are in the moment. But it doesn't mean that we love our spouse any less. It doesn't mean that they don't have the authority to ask you to do something. You'd be like, you can't tell me what to do. Oh, I've heard that, though. But the thing is, when someone with authority speaks and you're like, oh, I recognize that authority, we may listen a little more. So the president shows up to your house, and let me clarify, a president that you respect, okay? Let me put it that way, because I know there's a big tear in our country about the presidents for like the last 20, 30, 40, whatever, years. It's been a long time since we've been unified. I actually talked to my daughter about this, and she said, ooh, so like FDR. And I'm like, you went way back. I'm like, okay. But so in this instance, a president that you respect, he comes to you personally and he says, I need your help. I want you to please help me with a mission that I have. It's a mission to help the people. To help the people in your community. To help the people in your country. This will help the people of the world. And most of us will have the question, is this really happening? The president is asking me to help. And I'm sitting here going, yes. We're going to be asking, is this real? But you're going to be listening. You're going to sit forward and you're going to go, okay, what can I do? How can I help? What do you need me to actually go out there and physically do to help change the world? Okay, now Jesus, he's saying this. He's saying, I have all control. I am in charge. I am God. I have the authority in heaven. These are coming straight from Jesus. He says, you know that place that God dwells that you can't even get to, that you can't even fathom, your eternity? Guess what? I have authority there. But I also have authority everywhere. Every single place. You know the beginning of the Bible? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. God made everything out of nothing. God created everything you see and you do not see. And Jesus has authority over all of it. He created it all and could cause it all to cease to exist. Well, right now, he's talking to you. He's talking to you personally. And he starts off with saying, this is important. Listen up. And we should be saying, I'm in. Yes, I'm here. I'm listening. I'm willing. I am ready. This is literally one of the most important things that we could ever listen to. And then Jesus says in verse 19, I want you personally, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father God, and the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, who is God who lives in us, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always to the end of time. There's so much that is said right there, and we have to break down each part. And we'll start with, to go and make disciples. What is a disciple? What does it mean to go and make disciples? We confuse what this actually is. That does not mean to throw a Bible at someone and say, good luck. That's not what I'm doing here when I say, take the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. I'm not saying, take it so I don't have to deal with you. No, that's not what's being said. It does not mean to scare them into submission because they're afraid of going to hell. Well, you know what? You're doing all the wrong things, so you're going to hell. That stinks for you, buddy. No, that's not how that works. This is not telling them that God has a lot of rules, and you better follow those rules or you're going to anger God and he's going to kill you and your whole family. Whoa, that escalated, all right? Like crazy. But the sad part is, all of these things have been said and done already in this world. And the people who say and do these things, they hide behind the Great Commission, what we just read. Well, I was told to go and spread the Bible and get people to follow Christ. So at any means, right? That's what it means to make a disciple. No, to go and make disciples means to tell others about Jesus, but to tell them the truth of God's love for us. To know that there is a God who created the universe and he saved you personally from all the things that you have done wrong. And the price for those things that you have done wrong, your sins, is death. But you don't have to die for your sins. Because God's Son, Jesus, he already did. He paid that price for you. And that kind of love is amazing. And so to show our love and appreciation back to God, let's give this life we have to Him, to try and follow Him closely, to keep striving to follow God and His wants, to follow His plans as much as we can in this broken world. Because when you are a disciple, you are saying, I want to follow God. It's not that I'm just scared of Him or I'm scared of what would happen if I do the opposite. You're saying, I want to be with Him. I want to serve Him in any way, shape, or form that I can. This is not just lip service. I'm not doing this out of fear. This is not something you want to do because you're hoping to get on God's good side. Because that's not how this works. It's all because you know Him and you realize He's the only thing that truly matters. That He is the only thing that is actually good here, and you are proud to say, I follow God. You're proud to say, I follow Christ. That's what it means to make a disciple. And then Jesus said in that same line of making disciples, these followers of Jesus, it's for all nations. Now this was huge for the Jews because they thought the Messiah is coming for them. The Messiah, the Savior, is to save Israel. He's going to make them kings. He's going to make them queens. They're going to rule over the people on the earth. And Jesus is saying, guys, that's not what we're doing. He actually says, you are God's chosen people. You're chosen to spread the news because you know of God. They know how amazing God has been for thousands of years. The Jews have seen what it looks like when God leaves the people to do whatever they want. How bad it becomes when they are in this world alone. And then when they come back to God, God is there with them. And they get to see how amazing and good He is and loving He can be. The Jews are the perfect people to spread the good news first to the world. And then to everyone. All nations is for everyone. And you have to know that applies today still. We are the ones that are supposed to spread the news to our friends, spread the news to our families, our neighbors, to spread the news to those people who have done horrible things in this world, to spread the news to people that have done horrible things to you and your family, to spread the news to those of other religions, to spread the news to people who live very differently than you do. And it's because this is for every single human being. We all have the opportunity to have a relationship with God, to be saved through the death of Jesus. And again, if you are a person that claims that you know who Jesus is, that He is your Lord and Savior, this is for you to tell everyone the truth about Jesus Christ. Then it says to baptize them. After someone has accepted Jesus, they say, I know this is true. I know that this is what I want to give my life to. I know that He is the Son of God. He died for me. He rose again. Well, then we're called to be baptized. And that means to go into that water. Not just that water. There's other water too. I want to make that clear. But we're supposed to confess it with our mouth. To go completely under that water. To be immersed. And to come out new. And all of this is in the name of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who is God in us. And the reason that's important is because you're not being baptized for fun. You're not just jumping into a pool. You're not just going in to cool off, or if it's heated, you know, warm up if you're cold. Okay, that's not what it's for. You're not doing it because it looks good to do. We're not doing it because the church says, I have to do it. We're not doing it because our parents say, you have to be baptized. No, what you're doing is you're committing yourself to God. It is your decision to make. You are the one that's saying, yes, I believe in the three in one, the Trinity, Father, God, Son, Jesus, Holy Spirit, God in us. If you're saying, I don't understand what you're talking about right now, That's fine. It's a huge thing that we could go over. It's called the Trinity. If you're not understanding, we have a sermon series called the Trinity. Go check it out. It's 4 weeks all about those pieces of the puzzle. And we won't get in that in today, but if you have questions, please ask. But again, it's all about God giving your all to Him. And why do we give our all to Him? It's because we have a mission to bring the good news of Jesus. But it does not end there. This is the part that we fall short. We love to spread the news, and some of us are better at it, where we're like, oh, I will talk to anybody and everybody that wants to hear about Jesus, and I'll just say, yeah, this is amazing, and then they're like, it's true, it's awesome, and then what do we want to do? We walk away. We say, you found Jesus, great, see you later. But that's not what Jesus said for us to do. And we read that in verse 20, it says, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. To teach them, to show people through the example of our lives, to show people through the example of our words. We're not just supposed to share the truth of Jesus and leave. We're to show them how to live through this life. It says teaching them. And teaching is not a once a week thing. If you want to learn something, you cannot do it for 1 hour a week and say, yeah, I've done enough and now I'm really good at it. It doesn't happen that way. You can't say, I got it all. I don't need to learn anymore. I'm good to go. No, when you love something, you dedicate your time to it, to studying it, to practicing it, to doing that thing over and over again. So have you ever met anyone who's amazing at an instrument? They do not just learn about it 1 hour a week. I have heard of people playing countless hours every single day, and they'll play till their fingers are bleeding, and they find a way to keep going. It's because what they are doing holds meaning to them. Well, the life of a disciple is a learning process. You have to start somewhere, and if it means something to you, you're going to pour into it. You're going to devote your time, not just Sunday sermons, not just a Bible study once a week, but you're going to do it throughout your life. When people first find out the truth, they are said to have this fire inside of them. It's almost like a spark was ignited the moment they heard about Jesus, and we say they are on fire for God. But what happens to a fire that's not fed? It fades. It becomes smaller. It's not as hot. Sometimes it completely goes out. But when you're being taught the Word of God, when we're learning how to live for God, when we start to act on God's words, what you're doing is you are stoking that fire. You are feeding it. And it can burn so bright. It can be so hot that it says others can catch on fire for God around you. And we need to keep learning ourselves, but also teaching those how to live for Him daily. Now, if you're saying, but I'm not perfect, well, I don't want to be mean, but duh. none of us are. Well, I shouldn't be the example. Why is that? Well, I'm not living my life always for God. Well, yeah, none of us are. And that's why we need to make sure that we're fueling each other, but also that we are going to God, that we are learning more, that we are soaking it all in, because it is the most important thing in our life. Again, this is a call from the Creator of the universe. He's saying to you, I want you to do these things. So do not take this lightly. When I was writing this up, I'm like, man, I don't want to sound mean here. But it's the same thing I tell my children. I'm not angry, and I'm not disappointed, if that's where you're going. I say to them, I'm not angry, and they're like, well, tell your voice. And I say, no, I'm being stern, because I want you to understand how important this is. So I'm going to say it again. Do not ever stop doing what Jesus has commanded us here. And then we're left with a promise. And Jesus, He says, God will be with us till the end of age. Meaning through the good, God is there. Through the horrible things in this life, God is there. When we leave this earth, you will be with Him. God is there. And so we ask the question, what do we do now? Now what? The now what is serve God with your life and start with this. Start with following His call. And that's what brings me to the challenge for this week. And you have to understand first and foremost, Jesus is asking you personally to follow Him. To go and make disciples of all nations. To baptize them in the name of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit who is God in us. And then to teach them to obey everything that He has commanded you. And when we do that, it says He's going to be with us always. I know we can easily skip over this part because it's like, oh, extra work. Do you really want me to do this, Lord? Is this what you're calling me to do? I'm going to answer that question very simply, yes. He asked His disciples to do it and all the followers of Christ. If you are claiming that you are a follower of Christ, today's the day. Have courage. Step out in faith. Tell everyone the truth that you know because it could change their life. It's something that matters more than anything else. Let's go and do the Great Commission. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank You so much for this day. Thank You for Your words. Thank You for the truth that we can read right here. You love us so much. You died for us. You came back from the grave. And even as we are still doubting, You're saying, I want You. I have a job for You. I want You to work for me and with me to spread the news, to make real disciples, people that can know the truth of God's love, and then just baptize them in the name of God, and then to teach them. Teaching people can be so hard, so frustrating, but You never lost Your patience with us. You've always been with us. No matter how many times we mess up or fall, You still love us and You're there. We love You and we thank You. In Your name I pray. Amen.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.